The first time I thought about getting life insurance was when my dad got sick. The whole thing happened really, really fast. What if the same thing were to happen, you know, to my family? The feeling of having Ladder is I know that my family is taken care of.
Here's how Ladder works. Answer a few quick questions and get your personalized quote. If you're eligible, Ladder will cover you with the tap of a button. It's that easy. Come see for yourself why customers love Ladder. Check your price now at ladderlife.com/online. Featuring real stories from real customers.
It's the classic dilemma at Whataburger. You pick up your patty melt with two fresh all-beef patties, melted Monterey Jack cheese, grilled onions, and creamy pepper sauce. And just when you're about to dig into Whataburger's take on this all-time classic, someone utters the dreaded words.
Can I have a bite?
Should you? Shouldn't you? Maybe you just take a big bite so you don't have to answer. Good thing that dilemma's over. Good thing there's the patty melt at Whataburger.
I'm sick of old, it's the Bible, it's this, it's that, you know. You know what? It's people. It's people is what it is. It's just people.
I don't know. I was going to add, this is now the 11th person I've heard this from. Very gifted intuitively. Some people never even had a vision before, but the vision I'm hearing is I hope that they keep going the way they're going with Biden. And keep him away from the Middle East, because what people have been seeing is not a good thing.
Joe is right, because he said Biden was going to get in there and do things his own way. And that's exactly what he's doing. And he's looking to show other people up that came before him, because that's the roots of what he is, you know. And luckily, he's rebuilding the wall. He's actually carrying on for Trump in a backwards kind of way, you know.
I think he realized, Michael, that when – see, he came in, everybody was pumping him up. You know, and he hadn't been in politics for a while, and everybody was pumping his ass up. So he comes, "Oh, my God." And then all of a sudden, he cuts all of Trump's border stuff, and he finds, oh, shit, why ain't got no way to put these kids? We got all kind of people coming in, 150,000 a month. This is ridiculous. That are legal, another 100,000 that are illegal. You know, he knew he screwed up. And he has to fix it. And Kamala Harris is scared to even take on the border stuff. She's just scared of it for some reason. And I don't know why. I mean, I think she's scared it's going to damage her reputation. But if she don't touch it, it's going to damage her reputation. She's
I saw on the news there today is that now he's talking about pulling out U.S. troops out of Israel. He's already to go and flex his muscle over there. And all of a sudden, stuff is kicking off even worse in the Middle East. And he's like, hey, well, maybe I should back away from this. That's what Trump was doing beforehand. Now he's pulling out. He says, what did he do? First 100 days in there, he flexed a little muscle, shot a few missiles, and then now he's like, maybe I should not be involved here anymore.
Well, we've only got 150 troops there. That's it. That's all we have. And they're taking them out because they're not combat troops. They're like, you know, for the embassies and shit like that. They're not real combat troops. So, well, yeah, I know why he's pulling them out. I understand that.
Well, you see, there's also another part in the news there, too, about when he shut down that pipeline, their deal, is that they flexed their muscles, I guess, a little bit prematurely, because there is corporate deals with an American and U.S. and Canadian trade that goes on, and that's going through courts there right now.
Now the
gas in the U.S. is going up there. Billion-dollar pipeline
is right in Atlanta, and there's a gas shortage. She said there was between 60 and 70 gas pumps that don't have gas.
Yeah, but that was because of the hacking thing. Somebody hacked one of the pipelines and shut it down for 3 days. They paid $5 million to malware to get the freaking gas line back on. Man, the Fed should be all over that shit. I don't know what's going on with that.
Canadians want to make money, you can put a pipeline of water down to Lake Mead, because it's about to get to a point where they can't produce electricity anymore for over a million people.
Get out of our houses. How are we going to get a pipeline?
Well, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Justin Castro.
Your president doesn't even want the gas so we're going to get
But water is pure. If a water line ruptures, it's just going to water everything. It's not going to destroy anything like oil. Come on, man.
I think Canadians will sit on the border after drinking beers and then go and fill the groundwater there with urine and then just let it seep through. And then there's
let's sleep down. It'll be nice and filtered and have a beery, eerie taste to it. Actually, people forget what the pipelines are really for. Like, we weren't going to use the pipeline so much to take oil from y'all as we were going to send y'all clean oil and let y'all sell the bitumen and the crude bit to other countries. Because Louisiana produces Sweet Creed, which is the cleanest oil you can get. And we wanted to start selling that in Canada because, one, it's cheaper than making because when you do bitumen, you got to go down and crack up the ground. It takes a lot of processing to get it out of the ground and then make it.
We have the oil sands up there, so they're pulling it out of there with this brand new technology.
And y'all got a lot of oil up there.
Yeah, well, the oil sands, though, is that because I worked in the Alberta oil sands for like 2 years, and most of the companies there are foreign companies working in Canada, and there were contracts out of there. That's why they're in there in the first place.
Yeah, that's usually how it is.
Canada, like.
Yeah, well, most people do. Like Exxon, you'll find Exxon in almost every country in the world, including Russia. They actually work up there, and China's asked them to come a few times, but they're not, they ain't too wanting to go work at China. But for some reason, they're more trusting of Russia than China. But because countries like this, and anybody who's developing a fuel system like the United States has, is going to have an infrastructure base with these big oil companies. And the United States leads in drilling all around the world. We far surpass anything in the Middle East system. And thanks to Trump, Biden's trying to cut it down, but thanks to Trump, we were the number one oil producer in the world for 5 years, by far.
You guys have a lot of oil there still dumping.
And we found something out. Yeah, but we found something out.
That hasn't even been capped off.
No, we haven't tapped that. We haven't tapped the Alaska or the Gulf supply, not the deep supply.
100 million gallons per day they're dumping into the Gulf of Mexico. They haven't even capped off yet.
Yeah, they got everything capped off right now. But everything's capped because the states are real strict on it.
That's still leaking in the Gulf of Mexico.
No, that's not leaking in the Gulf of Mexico.
Sure it is.
No, there isn't. I'm going to tell you why. Because what happens down here is the fishing industry, you got to remember, supply like half the world's shrimp comes out of four states in this country. They're so strict on oil rigs down here and leakages, it's unbelievable. And if a company is found any well leaking, it costs them literally $50 million a day. So they don't let anything leak. Don't believe them rumors like that. And the fishermen, they actually have companies that go out and check for leaks so they can go after these oil companies. My nephew's a big environmental lawyer. It's one of the things they do. And he's literally made $1 billion off of suing oil companies. I'm not shitting you.
Mock Joe's shrimp, man. Don't ever mock a southern man's shrimp.
Yeah, people get the wrong ideas because they see these things on these channels and stuff. And I'm like, no. Because if that was happening, there'd be no fishing industry down here. It would wipe out the entire industry. You can't have leaking oil. I mean, just when the big rig went, it killed the industry for 2 years. Not just oil. I mean, it killed oysters, shrimp, crabs.
You know what?
That's not something they're going to allow. They're real
strict. They pack sardines in oil. So how's that?
Yeah, olive oil or spring oil, one or the other.
Crude oil. What's the difference?
You're right there, Joe. It says the Gulf of Mexico oil that's been leaking. It was been leaking for 14 years. They finally contained it in 2019. So for 14 years, that thing kept on leaking. Yes.
And that was
the Gulf of Mexico.
But so that wasn't was, actually
like, jumped a rig. On quickly.
Yeah. No, they didn't jump on that quickly. But that wasn't actually a rig, and it wasn't actually close to shore either. It was out in a deep water range, out there. Where there's nothing
South America
out.
And the Gulf of Mexico that affects.
No. People, that's something you don't understand about the Gulf. So. When you get into the Gulf, you've got the shoals all around the Gulf, which are really, really rich in seafood. But once you break about 500 miles out, it's 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 feet deep, and there's nothing down there but sand. There's nothing alive down there. There's nothing to eat. There's nothing thrown around out there. The only thing you ever see there is you might see some whales occasionally, maybe a couple of big sharks, but you don't see anything else out there. It's just the way the Gulf is made. Everything's around the inland within 500 miles. So as long as the oil don't protrude in those areas. Yeah, but it doesn't work that way. It's too far out there. It gets diluted before it ever gets close to shore.
So there's no currents at all. It just sits there.
But no, the oil doesn't work that way, Del. It breaks down because of heat. So, and there are things in the Gulf of Mexico that actually eat oil. But usually what most of the rigs now do, or if they find a company that's leaking, they have a chemical they use now that eats the oil up. It turns into these little granules of mud. And you'll find them every once in a while out there, but they're really funny about it. I mean, they don't let anything get inside the fishing ranges in any of the countries, not just in America. In South America, Mexico, none of them do. Because do you know how many people would starve? No, that's the rivers, unfortunately. That's not the Gulf. But the thing about it is, places like the Ohio River, you don't eat anything that comes out of the Ohio River. That thing's lead count probably through the roof. The Mississippi River used to be really, 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 really bad, but they cracked down on it, so it's not bad.
They said you can eat fish out of the Hudson River, man. I would never.
I would never eat fish out of the Hudson River. I'm not eating no fish out of the Hudson River, man. I'm not going there.
You got the Mississippi River and all that stuff there. They're all filled with those Asian carp now.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Don't get this. So some guy, this guy is brilliant. So he found a way. He uses some kind of sound device, and he throws these pellets out, draws all the carps in, and he throws this device in the middle of them, and it makes them just start popping out, and they just roll over the boats. They just pop into the boats as they're going through. It's crazy watching this.
The only problem with that is that a lot of Americans do not think that carp is a good fish to eat. Now, I've watched a lot of
no, they don't. A lot of people don't.
I was watching these chefs that have actually come up with some really good recipes there to do with this Asian carp that they can use this, but Americans have this thing that they think that that's a garbage fish, so they don't want to eat it.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. A lot of people won't eat it, and it does. It is an intrusive fish that likes to eat a lot of the other species. That's really the main reason to get rid of it.
Yeah,
because it likes. And they get pretty big, so you know, it can eat your trout up and stuff like that. But
this is another thing there too is that like I watch a whole bunch of fishing shows and stuff like that, and I was watching stuff with Florida and all that whole area down there is that the invasive species, even from stuff of people dumping out of their fish tanks there, is just like killing off the vegetation, everything like that. Asian carp is really bad because we have a big problem with it, worrying about it coming into the Great Lakes. But another thing, like there's zebra mussels, we already have a big problem with that here with all the tankers that come into the Great Lakes. But these Asian carp are a huge problem. And we have some of them in, I think, in Lake Ontario down by Toronto and that. And they just kill all the vegetation, destroy all the river systems. And like,
there's a lot of stuff. That's why they tell you, they actually run commercials in the South. Check your boats when you get out to make sure there's no things hanging on your thing before you put it into the water again. Because you might be carrying one species to another lake or another river. Because a lot of these systems down here are isolated. You know, they're lakes inside of the boundaries with no rivers connecting them or anything. So there's a lot of times you're bringing invasive species into there. So they ask you to watch for all of that and you'd spray your boats down. They actually find you if they catch shit on your boat hanging like that, if you're going to launch it or something. They really and truly, I hate to say this, but the game wardens down here are super strict. And they will stop you when you're out and search your boat. They want to know what you got. You better have all your ducks in a row. You better have your damn horns working. You better have the right amount of life jackets. You better have your radio working. You better have your emergency beacon thing or else your ass is getting fined. And they will have no qualms of towing your boat and seizing everything to you. Get it straight. They're strict about it, but it makes it way safer on the waterways because there's so many people on the water. That's why they got to be strict. I mean, the other day, I'm in Navarre Beach, Florida. So we come over the bridge on one of the bays going out to the Gulf, right? There are so many boats. They're basically touching each other as they're trying to get out of the thing. And there's a big sandbar in the middle, and you look out there, and it's just surrounded by boats, and people are laid out all over the sandbar, in the water, hanging out. It was worse than a highway. Is how bad it was. It's crazy to see that many people in their boats.
I was watching this show. It's actually on YouTube. There, Blue Gabe, if you want to check out that channel. And he throws throw nets like the out into the water systems and all that stuff like that. And every time he throws, he pulls up 90% of all the stuff is tropical fish from another country. Like it says, it's not the native fish. It's 90% that he's pulling out there is. It's crazy. And
because people throw shit in the water, they don't want to kill them or they flush them or whatever they do to them. But like in Florida, this is weird. Florida had a couple of really invasive fish getting into
the snakeheads. You have the lionfish. You have these different tropical fish.
But Florida caught a break because Florida's got a boa constrictor problem or python problem, actually. So somebody let loose. Well, yeah, they're everywhere now, right? So these damn things have started eating the baby alligators. But they started eating these invasive fish populations as well. So now Florida's torn. Should we wipe them out or should we let them eat these populations before we wipe them out?
Hey, what is it's the created a whole industry. You have a whole bunch of people going around catching them now.
I remember when Tampa Bay Lightning there, I remember when the inaugural season, me and my buddies, we went down there to see a game there. And on there, the crest was the Florida Panther because it was endangered. But they've got so many invasive species down there. You wonder why the panther's endangered.
It is crazy. But anyway.
Coming to Canada. Let sharks up there soon, man. Those bull sharks.
I wouldn't know it.
What the hell did I do there? I'm sorry, guys.
They come pretty close.
Anyway, let's shift.
Up to Niagara Falls,
let's shift things for a minute. So, you know, the governor of Michigan said that she didn't want to send no more oil to Canada, right? But not because she hates Canadians. It's not because of that. It's because she's scared that the pipeline may burst under the Michigan River, you know, the river that blows flames into everybody's water and polluted. I'm thinking, really, that river's so polluted, I don't think you'd notice. But regardless, this pipeline's been safe the entire time. They've had no issues with it. So, you know, Justin, Mr. Pink Shorts, who I love to death, by the way, he come out and said that, well, if you're going to do that, we're going to cut off. We're not going to open the borders back to this. We're going to cut y'all's lumber off, which is cut off right now from y'all anyway. So, you know, lumber prices are ridiculous for multiple reasons. And hey,
what's the price for a 2x4 down there right now?
$10 right now.
Yeah, because we were looking at a piece of plywood.
Yeah,
it's like $85.
Piece of plywood is how much?
About $60. $60. It's double.
Wow.
So right now, because me and my partner were talking about doing a couple of building some houses because he owns some property up here. But right now, it would cost an additional $45,000 to $55,000 to build a new home. Well, that's your profit margin, man. I'm like, well, screw that. I'm not going to bust my ass for no reason. I ain't going to make no damn money. Makes me want to slap Laura Reed around or something. Shit.
Well, what are the reasons that's making it so expensive? I mean, besides embargoes and closing the border because of COVID, I mean, is that just the reason?
You guys heard Dell. Dell, you said, what is it, $85 for and up. That's just crappy plywood up here. So we're
well, because they shut down industry up here, right? They just started. My buddies all haul wood out of the bush there, and they go to the mills, and the mills are on half production. The trucks just started up. They were closed down for a year.
Yeah, Biden gave Castro a call yesterday or day before yesterday, and they're going to work out some kind of deal. They want to open the borders up for several things to start going back and forth, because basically BC borders open anyway. You can't stop. The Americans and Canadians are going back and forth from Seattle like there is no border.
Right.
Where else?
You know, so, but y'all can't, because y'all got a little narrow border to get across. And you know, there's other reasons you can't. So it depends where you are. Like, if you're in Maine, you could probably sneak across the border right now. You just go around and hop in a boat and just go around, because nobody's really out there checking.
Out of our houses, it was supposed to end on May 20th, and they're planning on extending it indefinitely. Alberta and our province, Ontario, are like in jail right now.
They're going to have to do something, because y'all fixing to be bankrupt, so they're going to have to open up something soon.
Everything.
How's your COVID rate going on?
About this, it's like ghost towns. Everybody's moving, and if this Bill C-10 goes through, I've never said this. I will. Adele and I said we're moving if it goes through, because we will be in the CCP, because they're going to control what we watch on television, what we can say on social media, anything, and you can end up in jail if Mr. Pink Pants decides that he doesn't like what you're saying.
Well, you're on the decline when it comes to COVID. I mean, it is going down. I guess they probably want to go down much more.
We have this argument every week. And never mind that the PCR test, that they do rotations when they test it. Ours is set to 3 or 4 times higher so than what the rest of the world is.
What is that?
I don't know. Somebody said, fiddling with your mic. There you go. That's current with that is in deep. Canada right now. Does that sound right to y'all Canadians?
I checked out a video or a group on Facebook called Videotape Your ER. You will see all
kinds of FEMA hiring.
Ontario, India, from all over the world. But
so wait, let me. I got to stop for a minute. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Laurie Lee. I apologize.
It's okay. I was just going to.
I just looked at the deaths up here. So this is what they say is deaths in Canada right now. 24,018. There are more deaths in New York than in your whole entire country. And even that idiot is opening up his state. I mean, what the fuck is going on with this moron who's running y'all's country? This is ridiculous. This is basically no COVID across your country.
He's been cease and desist. I don't think he's taking it seriously.
He can kiss my ass, too. You know how I feel about that anyway.
No, people are starting to do citizen's arrest and using a cease and desist from the International Tribunal and issuing them on the local level, because this is just crazy. Crazy. And they're now, like I said, they're planning on extending it indefinitely.
Y'all got the Alfred Weber syndrome, I can tell.
When Canadians turn on each other, I love it, man. I mean, that's terrible.
Yeah. We're not going to turn on each other. It's that
hey, cat is closed, man. The moose outside should have told you. That's terrible. But
Canada goes insane.
But I'll tell you something. And I'm not feeling good about the whole reopening stuff in the States. I don't feel good about what Vegas is doing, that, you know, just freewheeling, take the masks off, no social distancing, nothing. It's too soon. The virus is still out there.
Too soon.
You can read in Science that the virus is much smaller than any type of mask that you can wear, unless you've got a properly fitted. And it's got to even be beyond an N95.
The mask isn't really to protect you from inhaling. The mask is supposed to be for people who have COVID to try to keep in most of their stuff.
Exactly.
You guys, I have a healthcare background. I know you don't believe it, but I do. I welcome anybody listening to this to look it up yourself. You'll see that.
You know, every time you say that, I cringe, because here I am as a contact tracer. I talk to people every day with COVID-19. You know what? I talk to people every day about quarantine and isolation. I've been educated on all the vaccines, all the information. So I'm not sitting on my ass doing nothing. I'm actually, for the last 6 months, I've been working in the field trying to reduce the spread. And I certainly know that people out there have it. It's not a conspiracy. People have it. And they're dying of it. Over 4,000 people are dying a day in India. So whatever.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people dying of it. Good, Lorelei.
No one's making that up.
Medical background. So I'm not negating what you're saying, but please don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about from a science background. I do.
It's not, you know, you have to be in the field and know what's going on. You can't just listen to hyperbole or people talking out of their ass on Facebook. There's a lot of that going on, but there's real information out there. People are dying of this still, still.
You carry on. You know everything.
Believe it or not, Canada is probably doing the right thing. I hate to say, because you've got to stop the virus. The only way to stop it is to stop people from congregating. You know, and then that could happen in the States. 6 weeks ago in India, they declared victory over the virus. Look at what's going on right now. Okay. And then in America, we declared victory over the virus. So just wait. Give it 6 weeks. Just wait.
I see, but you're wrong, Mike, because it's been more than 6 weeks in the South, and our cases are still going.
I'm not talking about the South. I'm talking about these other areas that are so congested. You see, it really is.
But we have big cities. We have big cities.
When you look at city areas that are so densely congested, you know, it's really difficult. Go to Brooklyn. Go to the Bronx. Go to places like that where people live on top of each other.
Go to Atlanta. Go to Houston. Go to Dallas, man. They're huge cities.
But you're talking about old COVID. I'm talking about new mutation COVID that's aerosolized in the air.
I just read today about the Moderna and Pfizer. They said there's nothing out there.
Joe, I love you.
When
COVID broke out, you told me that you didn't believe in it, and then it was just like the flu was going to be gone in 2 months.
I didn't say nothing of the kind. Thank God I'm on air, because I've never said that. I actually had COVID. Dude, you're going to embarrass yourself. I actually had COVID in January of the year it started. Don't embarrass yourself.
You and I had an argument about it.
No, we didn't, dude, because I had COVID. That's what I'm trying to get across to you.
Over a year ago.
Dude, I got COVID of January of the year it came out. We hadn't even our president even had not even said COVID was out yet when I had got it. Jesus, Mike, you need to pay more attention to something, dude.
I remember you said you had it, but it wasn't January.
In January, I got it January 25th.
We're going to have to go back
birthday.
Through the tapes, man.
You can, dude. I remember my son had it for 5 days through my birthday, which was January 22nd. I actually got it the day of his birthday, which was January 25th.
We're going to go through the tapes.
My wife got it February 6th. It was in the hospital all the way until
the bottom line is when people say it's over, it's not over. It's when it's over, it's over. That's the truth of it.
But it is over in a lot of places, though. That's the problem.
It's not.
Because everybody kept saying, even Fauci had to admit today he was wrong. It's still going down.
In the last four days, it's starting to go up.
Not anywhere around here, it's not. It's definitely going down.
I'm looking at the numbers. The last 4 days,
it's
starting to go up.
I got them posted on the screen.
I'm talking about the real numbers. You know what I mean? Not what they're posting in the media. I'm talking about they're working in it day by day. You see the numbers going up.
But real numbers, if you're going off the CDC and the WHO stuff that's there, right? We got places like Nigeria, 220 million people or 210 million people. They have less dead people than some of like Rhode Island. Like, and they just crazy. And they're more
dead. I could barely hear you.
Here's a little loud.
Can you turn them up?
You are a little bit low, Dale.
Take off the other thing. Can you hear me now?
You look really low. Can you crank them up at all?
No, I can't, because we're all in one system on here. All I do is crank us all up. Is all I do. If I get rid of us,
try this again.
Why North Dakota? Why the hell is North Dakota? That's better.
Yeah.
Earphones are screwed up.
Yeah, that's a lot better.
There's stuff. If you go and look on the CDC site and then stuff like that, you have places like Nigeria, third world country, 210 million people, and they have less dead than some of like Rhode Island.
Yeah, some of them stats you just got to win. Well,
I got my daughter's hair looking tight. So we hopped in the car and went to Mickey D's to celebrate. I did my thing with these braids meal.
There's a meal for every moment on the McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu.
Enjoy a tasty McChicken biscuit or chicken McGriddles. Get two of the same or one of each for just $3. Prices and participation may vary. Single item at regular price cannot be combined with combo meal.
At ADP, we understand the importance of building the right team and offer the data insights to help. Just as importantly, our AI technology helps you pay the team accurately. Grow stronger with ADP. HR, talent, time, and payroll.
Something really wrong with these numbers, and something really wrong with this team, or something really wrong with how this is all being figured out.
Well, look at China, right? I mean, you know, they lied all along. We'll never know. But at least India will tell the truth as much as they know.
Oh, no, we're going to know. I wanted to bring that up. It's part of the conversation. I'm glad Dale went there so we can segue into this real good. So U.S. scientists have now said it's official. It's a part of the news system. It's actually in our title of the show tonight. They want to know where the hell COVID came from. They know it came from Wuhan, but a lot of these guys are thinking this did come from a lab. This did not come from some animal. And they want a formal investigation. They want to know exactly where this came from, and they want to know why China lied for 6 months before they told anybody what the hell was going on. And they want, and then now you've got 51 countries now asking for reparations for China for letting this.
I'm going to tell you exactly how it happened. You know exactly. It was actually printed in the South China University newspaper when this is going back into I think November or something, when a scientist in the Wuhan lab got bitten by a bat and then he left work and then he went into that market. Yeah, this is what they reported in the paper. And he had gotten really ill. And then it went from one person to 12. Del, let me talk, Del. You know, behave yourself, man.
It went from
one person to 12 to 144 to 400. I was following it. I was reporting on it on my show all along.
Oh, my God.
It exploded all through Wuhan.
Hey, guys, we're going to go to 2 to 3 minutes to everybody talking tonight since we keep talking over each other.
Oh, my God.
So, Mike, you through? Because I'm going to let Del go if you through.
Well, the Chinese took the article down, put it that way.
What were you saying, Dale? Because, I brought my time up on y'all's asses now.
If you're going off of the information that's there off of the CDC site, and there's a whole bunch of stuff there, the numbers don't add. You have, like, these third world countries that are not wearing masks, are not being vaccinated, and have less deaths than cities in the U.S., and that's a truth. That's right there. That's in the facts. And this is the stuff that your government is actually going by. Our government in Canada, your government in the U.S. And these are there. And they can't lie about them. So if you're saying that stuff is not true, but the stuff that you have from your sources is true, who's telling the truth here?
You mean the release of the virus?
That's all these other countries have less death than places in the U.S.
I mean, do you have a question? You're talking about the release of the virus, or how much, or why different countries have different death rates, the case fatality rate for different countries. Put it this way: so the new mutation is already spread to 50 countries. They just closed down Cambodia, for instance, because of it. So they are reacting.
Let's see.
Where's Lily, man?
Actually, look, so here, this lady, here's one of these Chinese ladies. She said, has proof COVID came from Wuhan lab, Chinese virologist. So this woman worked there and said this is where it came from.
Yeah. It wasn't an intentional spread, but it was the Chinese and their crappy security that, you know, scientists in 2015 all around the world said they shouldn't build that lab. You know, they didn't trust them with the materials. Well, look what happened. Look what happened, man. I don't think they released it on purpose, but I think they cashed in on it, and they're still cashing in on it. And now they got their own vaccine that they're also going to make money off of. You see how they're fighting over patents? I think that's really interesting.
Well, did you see the stuff there with Rand Paul discussing with Fauci about the gain of function there? And the U.S. doctors that were working with the Wuhan lab about COVID-19 and weaponizing it and making whatever a strong variant disease that would affect the lung system. And it was talking all about it because Fauci, I think, is the head of the NIH and other subcommittees, and money that he drips down into that and is paid out. And he's saying, no, we're not doing that. And actually, it is. The line of facts are going on that doctors are working with this stuff. And Fauci is the one that sort of symbolizes and writes his name on the check to give money for this research.
He does get money.
And the thing is, it was that this year, with a bill being passed through with the states, with the Biden stuff, is to increase more money to go and find out more infectious diseases, dig up old pathogens and stuff like that to find more things that are out there. So what do you think about that? Should they be searching for more old viruses, like the one that we just had here from the Spanish flu, to go and study them when they should have been long dead and buried?
Yeah. They're going to do something with all these diseases to start off with.
They've always had a
stockpile. I mean, we do. We have them stockpiled. Not just us. Russians have them stockpiled. Chinese have them stockpiled. Yeah. And we're not supposed to. Under the treaties, they're not supposed to exist. They're supposed to be gone.
Well, under Bush, they legalized it again under Bush when he was in there. And I was kicking and screaming about it on the air. I thought that was really interesting. But there's always – Spanish flu is bird flu. They've weaponized the bird flu. You know, they've got all that stuff, man. And so is Russia. Russia has got a whole island with that stuff buried that's not even protected. Mold spores, when they were experimenting with killer mold and stuff like that. You know, and you got the anthrax, you know, the bird flu, all that buried there. Anyone can go there, really. I mean, they have, like, no security and dig it up. It's a sick world sometimes, man.
Well, there are a lot of dangerous substances out there that are readily available to kill us, that's for sure.
Like tequila.
Yeah, but you know, with the COVID thing, it's weird because – you know, we were being preached all this stuff about COVID, and then now we're being unpreached all this stuff about COVID.
It's weird.
We still have COVID.
It's very weird.
So we're reversing our course. You know, and you would think maybe they want this to pick up again so they can get the control back that they've been having and lock everybody back down. But
that's one theory.
It's too late, but you're not going to lock them back down.
In some places, but in the blue states, they will. You can't say that about the red states because they're more
exactly.
The blue states, they will.
They'll lock the blue states back down, but the red states will be like, screw you, buddy. We ain't going back down. Y'all can forget it. And you can't take military action because that would just get sympathy from the blue states to the red states. So you're kind of screwed. And you're not going to keep the blue states locked down for long if all the southern states are free because people will just start moving like they've been doing. They tried to say this is the first year California's ever been negative going out. It's not true. They've been negative before, but they're pretty hardcore negative this year, about 2 million. They tried to say, it was 40,000. No, no, no. Even the governor had to admit it was like 2 million moved out of the state. I mean, you don't lose 7 seats because your population staying where it belongs. And it also proves that the ones that are moving are not necessarily staying blue anymore.
People can't afford to live in New York. I'm in New York. I have to go, dude. You know what? It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous what rents cost and the whole bit. It's not worth it. It's not worth it, man. For a one bedroom, like on Long Island, man, if you're in a halfway safe area, you're going to pay $2,000 to $500 a month for a little itty bitty tiny one bedroom.
True.
That's a lot of money to pay if you're a single person. And even if you make a decent income, man, that's a tough nut to crack. You know, and then you know why they do that? They want to shuffle people off in certain areas by income, and they keep the taxes high in those nice places. They keep the taxes low in the other places. But New York, you know, yeah, New York is not just New York, but New York is really omnipresent to a suffering society. You know, and no one's done anything for it. You know, so now the people with money could leave, right? The people who don't have money are stuck.
Yeah, people don't have money, it's stuck. But a lot of times people who don't have money happen to be the red people, so they'll just change the voting patterns of the state. They did say this. The Democrats said this yesterday again for the second time this year. It's possible in the next election that New York could be a purple state and vote for a Republican.
I think people don't care. I think people just want to be left alone left to their lives. I think people are so soured. The ones I talk to anyway who are so staunch with voting are like, I'm not voting ever again. Screw this country. I can't believe what these people have done. Well, here we are. Here we are. You got to reap what you sow.
Yeah, well, I think that's the same thing that happens up here in happens up here in Canada is that even the people that I've been talking to is that a lot of people are sort of so blind to the situation there, and they believe that Mr. Pink Pants is the savior, and he's been doing the greatest thing for the country. And I was just like, I just shake my head. I go, WTF, like, are you serious? And I see the same thing that happens in the States, is that people just sort of focus in their bubble and they don't see what's happening at the next state over, what's happening across the country. And they
know what sells.
Vote people, party line.
Del, people are shallow. He's a good looking guy, nice body. He's kind of a little cutesy, acts all like that. People are attracted to that. He's got charisma. If you look at leaders, you see that leaders have charisma. Bill Clinton had a ton of charisma, didn't he? You know, even Bush, all of them do. Obama had a ton of charisma, man. You know, good looking dude, now halfway decent. I don't, depends what you like, but I'm saying, like, he had a presence about him that made him attractive. You know, Trump, no, yeah, nothing about him makes him. But Trump had the charisma of power, right? He was Trump and all the money and all the BS talk, you know. So, but that's who gets in. But are they good for people? You know, are they just face men, face people, right?
So Trump has a charisma that's a little odd. I get what you're saying, but he still has charisma. He still makes you want to listen.
He's got presence. He's also entertaining. He's entertaining when you listen to him. He's funny. You know, I mean, he keeps it. He knows how to play both sides. He really does. But you know what? He missed his opportunity, man. He did have an opportunity to bring people together in the beginning and use humility as his guide. It went the opposite direction, and it was all about blood and guts. And look what the Democrats have done. All he had to do was sit back and be a victim, you know, and then do what he did anyway. But that's over. That's water under the bridge. And now we got Biden. Mm-hmm. But Biden's a mixed bag. He's an old white man, you know, from America. I mean, that guy's got roots in hate. You can't tell me that he doesn't, because I hear it in his speech. You know, it's if you take the labels off these people, like, you know, he's a Democrat, so he can't be racist. I never heard that in my life. I've heard this guy say incredibly racist things, you know, that were offensive to me.
The Democrats used to be the racist, so.
Oh, sorry, there, Lily. I was going to say, it says, so what do you think that Biden's done progressively, as a positive right now so far? Has he done anything that Trump hasn't already done or had put in motion? Has he done anything?
Well, Biden hasn't really had a chance, to be honest, with the COVID he's had to deal with. So we have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah. You know what? With COVID, it's day by day, literally. And that's what I've seen in all this time, is that we're just learning things day by day. And people can jump to excuses or conclusions or whatever. That means nothing. It means nothing. You can also hope and pray and all that. That means nothing. You know, people have to work to stop the spread. It's that simple. It's unprecedented.
Okay, so you know, besides, I mean, that, you got going on in the States there. You have rallies going on. You still have your BLM, your Antifa going on. You have this idea of ghost guns and all these murders and shootings going on, right? During this COVID, you have all these picketing stuff that's going on in the States. We have it going on in Canada as well, not to the magnitude that's going on in the States and what's being covered by the news. So what has really changed? Has anything changed for the better?
Well, one, there's nothing going on up there because you don't have enough people for stuff like that. And you can only protest up there for really 2 months out of the year. And then the rest of the time, you can't be inside. I see you out by your grill protesting, man. You're making your little stuff. I'm jealous of that view you got, man. Yeah, nice view.
Let's throw this up on the screen for our fellow.
I mean, really, have you guys ever seen his view? It's beautiful. Like, wow. Imagine at night, it's amazing with the stars. I imagine just amazing.
So who do you know, Mike? You know anybody that's on this that this is going to affect? So I see 18 states are cutting unemployment.
Yeah, man.
But how are they going to do that? Because I heard Biden yesterday say that's fine if they want to cut their unemployment, it's fine, but they still got to give the feds unemployment out. So I was like, wait, and the feds one's giving you the most money. I mean, Louisiana only gives you like $250 a week or something. I think that's max benefits down here.
No, what's really weird about this? If you guys did watch the speech there that Biden gave, I think it was last week, and he said that he had created, 265,000 new jobs, right? So this is the thing that it really sort of perplexes me, period, right? So say there was 1 million jobs, government jobs, he cut 750,000 of them. Right. They're all done. Right. So those jobs are there. But he comes out the thing is we've created 265,000 jobs. Wouldn't you think that you would first bring back the 750 you cut already, then created another 265,000? But is this we created 260,000 jobs?
Well, just with the pipeline, he costs almost 30,000 jobs. And with the other cuts he made, yeah, he's up there. Personally, like he's still got his reasons.
He hasn't, the whole thing is what I'm saying.
Oh, he's a negative. No, I agree. He's in a negative. He's not on a
job. You haven't brought back what you took away first.
Yeah, and he's going to lose a lot more jobs than that. Currently, he's getting credit for about 4 million job losses since he's been in because unemployment's been going up, not down. And even though these states are trying to cut it to make people go back to work, it's still going up, not down. The numbers were up again this week. So they've got their things. And Biden don't want people getting on unemployment because if they get cut off unemployment, they're going to think Biden did it. And they're going to be mad at him and not want to vote for him. Democrats next time because it's going to happen under his watch. He could stop this. He could actually go to Congress and make these states stop this, but he's not. And because like in Mississippi, nobody wants to go back to work because, see, in Mississippi, $500 a week you can live on. Now, up north, you couldn't live on that. You would starve to death. But in Mississippi, you can live on $500 a week. You can rent a house down here, a two-bedroom, two-bath home, like two blocks from the beach for like $500 a month. So it's cheap. And the food's cheap. Gas is cheap. Gas down here right now is about $2.40 a gallon. It was, like I said, $1.40 last year. So you could live on that. But other states, you can't.
I see. I have your little temperature, your house, man, set into my computer. You know what I mean? I like to watch the weather there, see if I'm going to be on the air or not. If you have some tornadoes.
Yeah, there's been some crazy shit going on, yeah.
I try to monitor things, man. And I see, like, today.
It's crazy down there. Yeah, it gets crazy.
It was like 73 today. Whatever. That's beautiful. Like, right
now,
we had a little cool weather.
Yeah, we had a little cool front come through. It's really nice. It's going to be a nice weekend. But we just got off of 4 days of rain, too. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know what, you know, these states are thinking. As long as the Fed's giving it, they need to let them. I know everybody needs to go back to work. You know, I'm happy. We're fairly busy. We're not as busy as we usually are this time of year, but we're busy. And so I'm happy we're making money. But we're working outside right now. You know, if you're watching the weather, you know it rains here like all the damn time.
Yeah, but materials. Do you charge people for materials? Like when you do a build or something like that, you charge them like materials and then labor? Or do you include the whole thing?
Well, it depends. Usually I'll break it up because right now all of our bids say that prices are only good for 10 days, 5 to 10 days, because prices are changing too fast to keep up with right now. So
well, then let me give you a bid right now. I just watched the news there for a single dwelling or a three-bedroom home, whatever, with the materials, they've had to increase the price for lumber there $27,000. Because the cost of lumber has gone up so much from where it was before. That's how much the difference has been from last year to this year.
Oh, it's crazy. And right now, see, we were getting back into a housing boom. And then all of a sudden, these prices are going to stop it because nobody can make any money. I mean, when you're talking $35,000 to $55,000 to build an added on to building a home, you know, your profit margin in a home is usually about 15% to 18%. That's it. Your profit margin's going. You can't make any money. So why bother building the damn things if you can't make any money? Because nobody's wages are going up. They can't afford to pay. You know, this is what happened after Katrina. Any homes that survived Katrina that were up for sale sold for usually $100,000 to $200,000 more than they were worth. So 10 years after you owned the home and the market came back to normal, you were still in the hole. Your house was still worth less than what you paid for it. And that's what's going to happen here. So people are just on building. They're like, well, we ain't going to make any money. The price is going to be way too high. Even people who buy them, they're not going to get a good deal. So we were in a good building boom. And people are trying to get out of cities right now. So there's a lot of people want to build out in the rural areas, but it's going to be hard right now because of the things. And it is a seller's market right now.
Yeah, I mean, right, I put my house in better for things. Right,
oh, no, that's not true. When it comes to homes in the U.S., they're selling like hotcakes. When I put my home up for sale on Old Metairie.
Who's buying them, the bank?
No, people are buying them, dude.
Really?
I just sold one. Yeah, I'm waiting on a check right now. I sold my house in Old Metairie. It sold in 3 days. And even after it sold, I was averaging 10 calls a day on the damn thing. And I got exactly what I asked for. And they didn't get, matter of fact, after it went on contract, I had three people call me, offering me $50,000 more than what I was selling the damn thing for.
Wow.
houses, condos here in the United States, houses are a big boom. If you're outside of a city or you're in an exclusive neighborhood, some of those houses are selling like,
man. Well, okay, and you're talking going out rural though, right?
No. My house in New Orleans is in Old Metairie, which is an older neighborhood. It's been around a long time. It's a fairly wealthy neighborhood. So those houses are premium, and it's in between two major places, in between Metairie Road and Interstate and Veterans, which is where everything congregates together. And everybody on the north side of Metairie Road is multimillionaires. So it's a very safe neighborhood.
Right. You got space around your house, right?
No, but I had a big lot. No, I actually, it was three houses on one property. It was a three-bedroom, one-bath. And then it was a mother-in-law cottage, which was really nice. And then we had a shotgun in the back, which was the original house in the property. It was about 140 years old. And so we put it on the market, my sister and I. And it sold so fast, it made both of us like Jesus. So a friend of mine saw how fast mine sold. He put his up for sale three houses down. Yeah. He put it on the market for $525 because I told him I sold mine for. And boom, 2 days later, it was sold. Bam, it was gone. Up here in Mississippi, if the house comes up anywhere up here along the coast, man, that bitch is going. Even the ones that are building are selling before 30 days of under construction. They're just bam, bam, bam. So it's a really good seller's market right now. You can get premium top dollar.
So that's good for your area. Michael, how's it going in New York City area?
I bet you it's bad up there.
I'll tell you, upstate New York, for a one-bedroom apartment, small, you're looking at $1,500. On Long Island, you know, $2,000, $2,500 to $3,500 a month. So, you know, there's no dip in real estate. There's no dip in prices. So, and also a lot of these landlords, you know, a lot of them haven't been paid for a long time for the tenants that they have, you know, and people are way behind, you know, because of the COVID thing. They haven't been working and they couldn't kick them out. So that's also affecting that. But I'll tell you, if you want a place, man, yeah, and so think about it, if it's $2,000 a month, first month, last month, plus security, you need $6,000 just to get in the door, And you still have to pay utilities and have them turned on unless things are included. That's tough, man. That's hard. That's a lot of your income right there. You know, it's just – then they take – taxes, they rape you for taxes in New York, you know, on top of that, especially when you know that you've been hurting, you're off your feet, COVID, you just got a job again, they bang right away. They don't care. So
now fortunately, some of that's going to change. I did notice the real estate market in New York and city is actually going down because so many people have moved. It's the first time in the history of New York City that they have more places than they have people to live in. They actually have vacancies. So because they had too many people leave, they're like, what the hell? So de Blasio is kind of freaked out about that. And I know some friends of mine who own some realty in Brooklyn. And so one of them owns a condo. I don't exactly know where it's at. He just tells me it's somewhere. Well, actually, two of them own. One of them owns a townhouse somewhere about a park, and one of them owns a condo. Now, last year, the condo was appraising at $2.2 million, and the townhouse was appraising for $5.5 million. Right now, the townhouse is appraising for $3.3 million, and the condos for about $1.2 million.
Oh my God!
So they're all bitching, but he said the same thing. But you know what he said though? He said, "Look, dude, yeah, this is going to be like this for a little while, but sooner or later, it's New York. It's going to turn around." He said, "Sooner or later, we'll get a new mayor, a new governor, and things will turn around." And he's right; it will. So they're going to stay there because you know they don't want to lose that profit. He said, "I should have sold it last year." He said, "If I sell it this year, I'm not making anything." I mean, but that's just a bleed out right now. That sooner or later that'll stop. I guess once Cuomo's gone, it'll stop. But
look at the offices that have gone under, man. And then you have a lot of workers that'll never return, and then you have businesses that will never come back if the people aren't there. So you know, 50% of those mom and pop businesses are gone.
Yeah, and that's the sad part because New York, New Orleans, Chicago, some of the older cities have lost businesses. You know. There's a couple of businesses down here that you can trace back 125, 150, 100. They're gone now.
Yeah.
They're just gone. They're not coming back. They're like, no, I'm sorry. We're not coming back. It took too
long.
That's
a shame, man. Yeah. Family businesses with family recipes, you know. I mean, all that flavor and all that history and all that love just wiped away.
So some famous Brooklyn pizzeria packed up and moved to Miami. I was like, what? It's got to be a whole different world for them. Miami's a very interesting place to live. It's, you know, Miami's kind of like there's no real middle class in Miami. You're either rich or you're poor. You know, there doesn't seem to be a lot of middle class around Miami. And somebody told me the other day, well, there's a lot of soul in Miami. There is, and there's a lot of other things in Miami. Miami's got a lot of crime problem. It's got a lot of illegals living there, a lot of petty crime, you know. Bump and steal your wallet, break into your car, aggravating shit.
Yeah, but that's every city, man, really.
Yeah, but no, some of them have it more than others. And this one's just
well, yeah, city, but you know. look at Brooklyn.
At Facebook, we've tripled our safety and security teams and invested billions to keep our platforms safe. What's next? We support updated internet regulations that set clear rules for addressing today's toughest challenges. Learn more at about.fb.com/regulations.
You know what's nice? You could drive to Whataburger right now if you wanted to. Yeah, you could hang a Louie, talk to Reggie at the counter, and get a freshly made 100% beef double meat Whataburger with melted cheese and fresh cut veggies on a 5-inch bun. It's just the delicious freedom you have living in the land where there's Whataburger. Of course, some people aren't in that land. I wonder what they're doing right now. Probably thinking about a road trip. Good thing it's so close you can taste it. Good thing there's Whataburger.
Man, you don't want to go to certain places. Yeah, try walking through East New York on Crescent Ave at any time during the day or night. Jesus.
Well, I accidentally stumbled into an argument the other day for two of my friends. Both of them were from Staten Island. And they got in a big argument because one of them says Staten Island is a big shithole and the other one says it's the best part of New York. I'm like, so I was like, look, dude. I had two friends that lived in Staten Island. I said, none of them said it was the best part of New York. They didn't actually say it was a shithole, but they didn't say it was the best part of New York by any means. I said, so I don't know if I can go there. But they got into a nasty argument. I was like,
I'll give it to you like this. It's the herpes on New York's lips.
That's not herpes. No, Lord. So what are all the Midwestern states they're doing? Are they all in the middle between being a lockdown New York and a free Louisiana?
Well, nobody's really locked down. Louisiana is actually one of the slower states to open up.
Yeah.
We have a Democratic governor. He was slow. New Orleans still isn't fully open up, by the way. Anybody listening tonight that's planning on coming to the city, there still is a mask mandate in effect in the city. So know that going in. But everything's open. All the bars are open. All the conferences are going. All the concerts are coming. It's going to be a great year because what's going to happen this year is everybody's going to jam-pack their conferences, all these different parties in the fall. And then when it comes back to spring, when they normally happen, they're going to be back. So it's only going to be like 6 months between some really big parties.
But like you said earlier, Joe, so many people are flipped out about the mask. And like if you don't have it on, they're actually attacking people without masks. You know, I'm seeing this in the news.
Oh, yeah, you see the article I got up right now. Vaccinated America are ready to drop their mask, but they're not ready to socialize with unvaccinated. So you know, that says a lot in itself. Now, I don't know who did the poll, so I'm not going to, you know, say 100% it's true, but that's where they seem to be right now. Personally, look, I am vaccinated, but I will hang out with unvaccinated people. It's like when you hear these people bitch because, well, this kid didn't get the vaccination and he's going to school. Well, are your kids vaccinated? Well, yeah, then what are you worried about? If you've got the vaccination, what the hell are you worried about? The only person that's going to get the disease is the unvaccinated person. Because
they
don't
trust it. Obviously, it's like false hope. It protects you, you know, 93%. And the same with the mutations, maybe 63%. They don't even know yet. So they're kind of guessing.
Actually, you know what I found that all three of them, they said about all three of them, and this is the only thing that really mattered to me. If you do get COVID, it's not going to put you in a hospital and it's not going to kill you. You're still going to be bad. It could be bad or light. It could be in between. There you go. But you can still get it. The only difference is it's not going to kill you now as way before it was going to kill you.
Well,
that's a good thing. So you can go on and do your shit unless you get some crazy variant that might still kill you. But
doctors in India are dying who have been inoculated. So it's something to pay attention to. But nothing is perfect, right? If you have the vaccine, you probably have a better chance of fighting it off than not having the vaccine.
But the problem with the ones dying in India is because they're getting the disease before the 30-day period of the immunity.
Well, you got the right vaccine, though. You got the Johnson.
I did. But Pfizer and Moderna are getting good reviews from around the world. They're saying they're really strong. They're really good against the variants. They're holding up.
I'm talking about side effects and.
Side effects. Johnson, way to go.
You get
jabs.
We're just waiting for the 6 months after Joe's final shot there to see if he starts growing a third eye, a tail, or
well, it's been what? It's been 3 months. Yeah, it's been 3 months since I got the shot, and I didn't really get any side effects.
Did you put a magnet on your arm to see if it sticks?
At week five, you said that you were real fatigued that week.
Actually, there was a week. It was somewhere when the humidity the immunity was supposed to be kicking in.
He's losing his mind already with that.
I know, but anyway, it was when it was supposed to be, you know, coming into full fold in my body.
Shot him full of nanobots.
Hey, look, whatever it was, it did. It made me short-winded for a whole day, man. I was like,
I remember. I was taking notes. I was monitoring you from afar.
I was like, because you know, we humped that thing. And you know, I am getting old, but still, there's no excuse for that. It would be like if you got really, really high and tried to run up two flights of stairs and you were huffing and puffing. But kind of felt like that. So I was kind of like,
that's not what people usually do when they get high, but okay.
Yeah, well, no, most people get high. Well, it depends on the high on. Let's be honest about it.
Well, yeah, maybe crack or something.
I remember. I was 19. I was home on leave from the Navy.
Uh-oh.
And I was invited to a bring your everything party. Bring your own booze, bring your own drugs, bring everything. So we get this party. It's on the 16th floor in a building in downtown. It was great, man. Everybody's having a great time. And this dude, we had seen a couple people, they were just tripping hard. Somebody said, somebody's on the roof. And we were like, what do you mean somebody's on the roof? So I actually went down to see what was going on. I didn't go up. Some people went up, and I went down.
Santa Claus.
This dude said he was Superman and just leaped off the roof. I have no idea what he was high on. He was dead instantly. I mean, it was like 18 floors. Just.
Well, I guess he wasn't Superman.
But it's weird because I've been in some weird places. Like I seen one guy, I was driving home when it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. I was 17 at the time. Right after my dad died, because I was already in a pissy mood. And I run up on his truck that was on its side. It was a gas truck. This bitch burst into flames. It's like 40 of us watched. This dude was trapped. And it was one of the most gruesome scenes I've ever seen. I mean, he burned alive. There's nothing anybody could. Yeah, nobody could save the guy. It was crazy. It's just some of this shit is just outrageous that you run up on.
Yeah.
You know, shit, we seen the guy go off the bridge. One day he's just cruising along, like, doing about 80, got a blow up, went right off the causeway, into the war. It was like, it was surreal. She just kind of like, did that really just happen? And then we're coming across the causeway one time, and we're flying. My dad's flying. He's driving. And we come across the hump. 10 minutes after we crossed the hump, a barge hit it, took the whole damn bridge out.
Jesus.
It's like, yeah, we got to cross a lot of bridges down here, so it's dangerous. Matter of fact, most people keep spikes in their car. They're these little powered spikes. Because a lot of people have automatic electric windows. So if you get in a water, you need to get out. You have just a spike. You push it against the window. You push the button, and it'll crack the glass. And they're good to have, man, because, you know, people, in case you didn't know, try to kick out a window when you're in the water. That's not
almost
easy.
Don't even bother.
And I'm going to tell you all a secret. It is impossible.
I'll tell you all a secret if you want to know the truth. This is, we had to do an escape course. So don't even bother with your side windows unless you got a punch, because you're not going to be able to kick them out. The only thing you can hope to do is with your front or your rear window. If you got enough strength and you can get your back up against something,
yeah, your back
you can
window.
Break. You can push the window out. You can break the seal. Yeah. Push it out. You're not going to actually break the window, but you can push it out.
Yeah.
But man, that's if you've got enough oxygen left in your ass to do it.
Right.
You know. So.
And then the alligator eats you, and you're screwed anyway.
Oh, speaking of that, so this guy sends me this guy yesterday. He's a Florida living, right? He jumps in the water and goes and saves an 8-month-old puppy from alligator, rips it out of his mouth, drags him out, kicks the gate. I was like, Jesus, dude, he's a big gay.
I'd risk my ass to save a pet.
Well, I banned whoever. I threw whoever that was that sent me to dogs getting eaten by the one alligator. I took them off my friends. I said, I want to see it. If I want to see that, I go out to the swamp and throw a dog out there. It's not like I don't have – I got freaking alligators in my backyard. I got to watch. Don't eat my dog.
You know, how often do you actually see an alligator? Do you actually see them often? Like in a year, how many do you think you see? Oh, really? Once a month?
Sometimes more than that.
Do they like look at you? Do they kind of sit like while you're watching TV?
Oh, no, man. They'll come up my boat. Look, I got a boat launch underneath my house, right? They'll come up the boat launch like it's a slide, because alligators make a slide when they go in and out the water. So they'll come up in there like it's a slide, and they'll sit there and look at you. And I'll go, but you better get out of my yard. And they'll look at you, and I'll take like a paddle or pole, start beating the water. They'll start hissing at me. You know, whack them in the head, and they go get their leave. You know, but you know, down here, the big ones stay a little bit higher up for me because the water's deeper and it's fresher. I live really close to the Gulf. I'm literally less than 200 yards from the Gulf of Mexico. So the water behind my house is mostly salt water, and the gators don't like it. They'll get in it, but they don't like it. Yeah. And there are things in there in the salt water that will eat the alligators. We had a dolphin kill one. We had a barracuda kill one. Not a barracuda.
A
barracuda. It was a what the hell they call them? Alligator gar. Sorry, couldn't remember what it was.
Barracuda.
He come up and took a chunk out of. Well, no, they have barracudas in the waters down here, just not around here, not as far as.
Electric eel.
I know you have to worry about barracudas when you're swimming there, but a barracuda and an alligator.
Well, no, because no, that's what you see. That's what I'm saying. So you got to understand how my house is. So if you walk out my backyard, 30 feet from my back door is Bayou Mahali. So if you get in the bayou and you just go left, less than 160 yards is the Gulf of Mexico, deep water Gulf of Mexico. So all kind of big. I mean, we actually had a dolphin. I posted videos. A dolphin was living in my bayou because it's a saltwater bayou. So anything that's big comes in here. We've actually caught some big, big fish up in here. They come in here and breed in the springtime, early fall. It's a great little estuary, but it's actually great. We catch all kind of blue crab out of there and stuff. I can catch sheephead flounder. I can catch big reds, small reds, big sail cats, all kind of love it. And if the water's fresh, like if we get a lot of rain that comes in from the Wolf River above us, I'll even see like sockeye and perch and trout come through there. But that's when we see the gators. When the water's really fresh and it pushes in here, the gators come down with the water.
You got any those big, huge, not manta ray, sea cows they're called?
We don't have those down here. They got them all over Florida. At least I've never seen a manta. Now, I have heard you might see them in something like the Biloxi Bayou, but I have never personally seen one. I've seen some weird shit. They caught a 605-pound tiger shark about 300 yards from where I live.
Manatee, that's what I was saying.
They went out there with a net. Three guys went out there with a net and trapped the shark and drug it in the shore. They catch all kinds. But, man, you know, we have these fishing rodeos down here. They catch 500,000-pound fish. The Gulf's just loaded with shit, and it's deep water. It's big stuff. And a lot of that comes in shore to breed. So you'll see a lot of times you'll see big ones in here. Like this one, I don't even know what it was. It was big. It was probably about 6 feet long. It comes in, and it gets up against the bank, and it rolls over. Like it's depositing whatever it's depositing into the sand. I don't know what the hell kind of fish it is, though. I got a video of it, but you can't really make it out. It's just you can make it out at 6 feet, and every now you see its eye when it rolls. But, you know, I had no idea what the hell it was. It was about yay big around, too, whatever it was. And you see stuff like that. And then, and the raccoons are ridiculous around here. They'll go out, see a raccoon, they'll go eat a baby alligator like it's nothing. They'll snatch them up, they'll steal the eggs. They have one, they got a video. So, you know, mother alligators protect their nests, right? So there's six raccoons and they're trying to get in these eggs. And they keep trying to dig an alligator, keeps running off. So two of the raccoons jump on the top of the alligator and just hang on. Alligator goes ape shit. They just stole all kind of eggs, rolled out of there with them. You know, say raccoons work together. They had another video of them where there's three raccoons stacked on top of each other so they could open up a bird feeder and get the food out of it.
Well, isn't there another invasive species that's down there, those big iguanas? You have those around you?
No, we don't have none of that around here. Mississippi's different, like Louisiana. We have a lot of big prey birds. We have, like, in my backyard, there's a breeding pair of ospreys that come in twice a year and fish out of my bayou because they got really big fish here. So they sit in my pine tree and fish. We got a big 3-foot hoot owl that comes through about once a week. We got four hawk breeding pairs that come through. We got one bald eagle that comes by about once every few weeks. And I've got an 8-pound dog that I keep an eye on all the time because she just looks like food to them. The ospreys don't care. For some reason, the ospreys don't even look at her. She's been out there barking at them while they're in the tree, and they look at her like, whatever, dog. And they go catch a fish, and they fly off. The eagle, though, he's looked at her. He looked at the other ones a couple of times. Like, that looks like lunch. I had to actually go out there and kind of – the only saving grace is when we had Charlie, who passed away just recently. He was kind of – you know, he's 18, 20 pounds. And he was always bouncing, barking, jumping. So big birds, they don't want to mess with him. Not that they don't think they could have ate him. They just didn't want to risk the damage, so they left him alone. But now I just got the one little one, and she looks like food. She just looks like a giant rat running in the yard is what she looks like. You know, so the birds are flying over going, hey, look at that. Yo, you'll see them. The hawks, when I'm out there, I'll be sitting underneath my house doing something. And she'll be in the yard, and all of a sudden you'll see the hawks start to circle. They see her ass. I'm like, I'll go out front so they can see me. Get out of here, birds. Don't make me have to shoot your ass to get out of my yard. And now that we live here full time, I'll tell you what was funny. We had a 4-foot tall stork, right? We call him Seymour. He comes by, hangs out every once in a while. He goes and fishes off the docks. He used to come up and eat on my back porch until we started living here. Little shit. We find fish skulls up here all the time. He would mess with my dogs, especially my little black Maxie. Maxie would go out there. Maxie's like 4.5 pounds. He'd go out there trying to get this dog. Right? This dog would stand right on the edge of the dock and wait for this dog to get right there. And then he would and just take off the fucking dog as he's heading for the water, man. It's like, oh my God, you stupid dive bird played you every time. But what you got, the only thing that I really worry about out here the most is the pelicans. They'll eat your dog, your cat. in the heart.
Really? A pelican?
Oh, man. Yeah, shit. They were showing him in New York swimming along the edge of this river and it snatched two people's dogs right off the damn edge of the top, man. You know, it's just,
I guess they don't care. I would
have never thought that either. I had to actually go. I went and looked it up online because I thought the video was fake. And actually, there were several incidents where they've eaten cats and dogs and shit. I'm like, what?
Jeez.
But they are pretty big. And the pelicans down here get pretty big. I mean, they look like little battleships when they're out there in the water and shit, man. I mean, their beaks are usually about 16, 18 inches long. So they're big. I was like,
yeah, I was surprised. I was up in northern Saskatchewan, like way up north, almost close to where the tree line is, and was working a mining camp up there back like 20 years ago. And it was really weird. There was pelicans up there, and I figured all pelicans were all down south where you were. And like,
they're everywhere.
And these things are huge. Like these, you're right. They're like we had. Like there was eagles up there, and these things were like same like sort of wingspan and big, huge.
I was surprised how big they were. Yeah, it was the first time I ever seen one. I was like, that's a pelican. I'm thinking pelicans like a little penguin or something.
Oh no!
Like, look, these things are huge. And when they come over, they got their wings out. They jetting along like, hey, and they'll come along and they'll nose down and they'll let just the tip of their beak skim along the water. And all of a sudden, you'll see them and take up. And there'll be something nice size fishing there, and they just take off the other direction. Like, look at these things. They're crazy to watch. Now we had seagulls all over. Now, that's why my dog, Charlie, became anti-bird. He was about 8 months old, and I had him on the beach, and the seagulls attacked me because he thought he was going to be smart. He was a little puppy. He went out there and was going to run the seagulls. The seagulls were like, uh-uh. There's like 5,000 of us and one of your little asses. So they attacked him, man. Ever since then, dude, he was anti-bird.
Yeah, seagulls are big by the ocean, man. Like where I am upstate, we have seagulls that are tiny. You know, the ones on Long Island are freaking gigantic, and they haul some big fish.
Well, because they got better food, and you know, seagulls will eat anything. See, down here, you got to watch because people start throwing them french fries or bread. And next thing you know, there's like 1,000 seagulls crapping all over you, flying all over.
They're smart, man. They take the clams and they drop them on the rocks to crack them open. They go down, eat the food. You know, pretty cool.
They're pretty opportunistic birds. They really are. Ashley Brad, yeah, you know, we're going to hold on. Where was the other? Oh, speaking of that, I'm glad you said that, Brett. So we've got the Gateses. Was anybody surprised that the Gateses got a divorce?
No.
I mean, I was surprised to see them marry as long as they did.
No prenup.
Oh, no. She's going to clean up. There's no doubt about that. She's going to be stinking filthy rich. She's going to be like, what's her name?
Bezos.
Yeah. What did she get? $100 million or $100 billion or something?
I know I'm dating her now.
I wish. I wish somebody would be dating her. I knew everyone got more money. She likes to give
her. I wouldn't put up with that, even for money. You know what? And then Melinda. And she had sex with him.
Well, yeah, Bill's kind of ugly. But hey, it's worth if you're going to be a billionaire. I don't know what she's going to go do with her life.
She wants. Split the money up so now they can dominate the world together, right? They're both eugenicists, right? And they both love to go and make vaccines and
countries
and do all that and experiment on the poor people. So this is perfect. This is world domination 2.0.
Did they split the name? Is she micro and him soft? Or is he micro? Yeah, she's soft.
What's going on
with that?
I don't know. We'll see. She might be way different. He might be way different. She might have been the humanitarian crazy bitch, and it might have been the other way around. We might find out that one of them
He was a eugenicist, right? His whole family has been a eugenicist.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. So she might be the opposite. Might be one of the reasons they split up. She might be.
He was a womanizer. Do you know he's a womanizer? People say. Of course he is, man. Look at him. His money buys him his women, like a lot of these guys.
Yeah, because there ain't no reason, any other reason any women be sleeping with his ugly ass.
Nope.
That boy is scary looking. Let me drop that one off the list.
That was the thing that they said about Trump. There says if Trump wasn't the millionaire on paper or whatever stuff like that, he was a guy that was working at a local millwright yard or something like that. Do you think that he'd be with his wife Melinda or whatever her name is there? He'd never be picking up
new models. Yeah, with that cold. I mean, his money got hurt. We're not even going. There's no reason.
Oh yeah.
But you know what? Trump's case, I don't even think it was the money. I think it was the actual power Trump had in the media that got her. She just figured she could sell her brand, and she's right. She opened up a bunch of companies with him, and she sold her brand, and she did well with it. So I think that was more of the opportunity for her, because there was going to be a prenup with her, so she wasn't going to get Trump's money. I think she was looking for the opportunity to make her earnings, exactly what she did, by the way. And I'm not going to hate on the woman for doing that, because, I mean, she made, you know, what, $200-300 million as his wife. So, and now that they were, she was, you know, first lady, she's going to make more. But nobody had anything against her except the media. Everybody else liked the woman. So, and so we'll see where that goes. But, and then everybody keeps on this, is Trump coming back? Trump, I don't know if Trump should run in 2024 or not. I think if he does, I don't think Biden's going to beat him, because Biden is falling apart. But it's just time for Republicans. Got a lot of good people. Put somebody up that's younger, that can do two terms, that the country can get behind. Somebody that has already, like, united their state. It might be a better way of going, because Florida, technically, they always say Florida's a red state, but Florida's really a purple state. And I'm not a big fan of DeSantis, but if anybody could unite right now, he could do a job. He did a good job with getting Florida's Democrats behind you. And
I've got to say that the GOP needs diversity. They don't have it, and they really need to start putting people forward who are young, of all kinds of backgrounds.
Don't go with
the same conservative message, man.
But don't get confused. The GOP has more young people than the Democrats do.
Don't talk about diversity.
Diversity, yeah, they need more blacks for sure. They're pretty good.
Women, I mean, just I mean, everybody, all races, but
well, they got a lot of women. They got a lot of women in the GOP party. There's quite a few of them.
When you see them all together, it stands out. But I think that there should be a cross section, represented. I don't think you need to be any kind of color to represent.
Yeah, well, no, but see, a lot of people get confused with today's GOP versus the old GOP. The average age of the Republican Party today is 50. The average age of the Democrat Party today is almost 70. So it's a big difference in age. They've got old people, and then they've got the AOC squad, which are ridiculous. Now, as far as I know, the Republicans got one Muslim that I know of. That's it.
AOC squad is very, very, very disappointed.
They are very disappointed. They're very disappointed.
And they're realizing that they were used. That Pelosi and those guys used them, man. You know, so
Right now they want to reprimand them for hating on Israel, and they're going after them. A lot of the different people, even some of the Democrats, are going after them. Like, no, you cannot keep talking about Israel this way. You got to stop it, because it's all that anti whatever it is got to stop. Because if you're going to preach to us that we got to be nice to everybody, then you got to be nice to everybody too. You can't go around hating just because you feel like you need to hate. And let's be honest, what does AOC know about anything? Nothing. The girl is dumb as dirt. And Omar, what the hell is Omar? No, Omar is being fed some crap for some Muslim overseas somewhere.
She was hired because of what she is and her background. They actually did what they say that you shouldn't do, is use race, and things like that, gender and whatever, to make it stand out. I mean, if you do that, you're engaging in that racism behavior, plus being gender biased. But they chose her out of 10,000 people, 10,000 people, and they put her forward. They put all that money behind her, and then they just feeded her, fed her stuff. To said, in the beginning, man, she was making major mistakes in talking. But I mean, I don't hate on her. I don't hate on Omar either. I actually don't disagree with some of the stuff that they say, but the other stuff, sure. I mean, but you're not ever going to agree with everything people say. But they are representatives, and I think that AOC right now is very quiet, and she's just realizing, like, these people used me. You know what I mean? If she's even thinking that, if she's smart enough to think in that direction, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So currently there are only 25 women in Congress. That's in the House.
I'm going to add this. She's done nothing for the Bronx or for Queens, the area that she's supposed to be representing. Nothing. And people are making a lot of noise about it, and you don't hear a thing about that in the media. Nothing. So there you go.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got confused. I'm wrong. There's 25 women serving in the Senate. There are currently 126 women serving in the House. There are 22 are black, 13 are Latino, 8 are Asian, and Island Pacific, 2 are Native American, 2 are Middle Eastern, 1 is African, multiracial, whatever the hell that means. There have been 359 women that have served in Congress to date, 41 in the Senate, 302 in the House, 16 served in both the House and the Senate. It's the most diverse Congress we've had in the history of the United States on both sides.
All right.
So, yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell people. Congress has changed, but we all...
I got my daughter's hair looking tight. So we hopped in the car and went to Mickey D's to celebrate. The I did my thing with these braids meal.
There's a meal for every moment on the McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu.
Enjoy a tasty McChicken biscuit or chicken McGriddles. Get two of the same or one of each for just $3. Prices and participation may vary. Single item at regular price cannot be combined with combo meal.
Still, because of the media, we're all still looking at Congress 20 years ago. Congress is actually diversified pretty well now. It's just, you know, you've got to represent the country according to the country. So, you know, if you've got an enormously higher, so what is whites in the United States right now? It's still about 63%. So Congress should show that, just like it should show the 14% of blacks. I guarantee you there's not a 14% representation of blacks in the Congress right now. Maybe 8% or something, maybe 6 or 8%. I doubt Hispanics are even being represented in the Congress. As a matter of fact, there was more blacks than Hispanics, and there's far more Hispanics than blacks in the country. So it's a disproportionate all the way around. It's like
how many black people have power in Congress?
Like There's quite a few these days. Not as many white people, but there's quite a few these days.
They could have had a black person in instead of Pelosi, but Pelosi had all kind of dirt on the woman, and you know she played the game and then put herself in that. Remember that?
But let me ask you a question.
No, not Maxine. It was that Marsha. What's her face? You know, who actually would have been a pretty good choice. You know, but that's politics, man. Look at Chuck Schumer. He says there should be more black people. Man, there should be a black person in my position. He's not stepping down, is he? He's not giving someone the chance. Like, hey. No.
I got to give Congress, you know, some credit for changing. But then when I look at the Democrats right now, which their average age is almost 70, that's ridiculous. Yeah. And let's be honest, with the exception of Obama, the last three presidents besides that were all in the 60 to 70 year range. I mean, they weren't even young. Clinton was in his 50s, but he wasn't exactly the youngest candidate out there.
Yeah, but he played that saxophone on Arsenio. He was jamming out, man. He identified with younger people.
Clinton was a dog.
Well, before him,
I agree. He did
Papa Bush, and before him, he had Reagan. So he had some really old sticklers in there, man.
Well, you got to figure, right, that for most people, retirement age is 65, right? And if you're picking your president, and he's over 65.
I'm not against having an older president as long as he's somebody who's kept up with the times. Joe Biden obviously has not. Trump is a tech freak. And he was in the media industry, so he was kind of keeping up with the times. He had a good idea where we were, you know, as a nation technologically. So that's a good thing. But Biden doesn't. Biden didn't have a clue.
Nope.
If you asked Biden what TikTok was, he would think it was the candy you shook out on your hand. You know, he probably barely knows what Twitter is. You know, because the last two presidents, Biden and Trump, used the shit out of Twitter. So I mean, Obama and Trump used the hell out of Twitter, but Biden's not. It's like he don't even have a Twitter account.
So going on a thing there, since a part about the military, what did you think about the comments of the retired general or whatever about the state of the military?
I didn't see anything about state of military. I know.
Well, it was about the whole thing about changing the, I guess, the criteria in there, and I guess the way that they're sort of making it, more gender friendly and making it easing up on.
Actually, that hasn't been changed yet. Biden hasn't been able to change that law yet. Trump banned gays from the military. He banned them outright. He said, nope, there's distractions to the troops and we're not going to allow it to go on. Because he said it wasn't fair to the men and women who had to serve with them and have their lives disrupted over one person. So he changed it. And most of the admirals and generals agreed with him that it was a distraction.
I mean, transsexuals.
He banned them. And then Biden was going to bring it back, but then something happened. And the military is not heavy gay because there's a couple of reasons why.
No, it's about physical education or physical training and stuff, like changing the standards and about getting in there, right? Making it a more
They tried to change the standards, but it's not going to change.
I'm not saying sexually, but I mean like physical, physically.
Yeah, physical. Stuff. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, well, yeah, they were going to change the standards to make it easier to go through boot camp and all. But then the Marines said, hell no. And the Navy came right behind them and said, hell no, boot camp's already too easy. We're not going to change. Matter of fact, both Navy and Marines asked to add a week to their training. So I don't know. Now, the Army may change its standards. The Air Force is the easiest branch to start off with, so they're not near as hard. Their boot camps usually last 6 weeks. They have sister companies and shit. It's a different kind of attitude because they're usually not front line. They're usually going to be deployed somewhere in a safe country or a safe area, whereas the Navy and the Marines and the Army are front line. They're out in the shit. So it's a little different in the way their training is. Marine training will never change. SEALs training will never change. Green Beret training, all that will stay the same. What I worry about is in the Army, what's been going on is a lot of women have been washing out. They can't finish the course because they don't have the upper body strength of men. So they've been washing them out of the courses. So they can't get into certain parts of the Army. So they ended up having to serve like as techs or more behind the scenes, you know, in clerical or something like that. And that's not what they want. They want to be front line. But in the end, and this is all that makes it different, when it comes to frontline troops, you have to be able to bring your fellow injured friend out if you have to.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no 5'5" woman going to be able to tote my 235 pounds anywhere. It's just not going to happen. So I would die on the field because of that. So the military has started to look at that in a way that, well, yes, we'll allow you into combat, but not in the combat where you have to be where. And men are more likely to put their life on the line for a woman than a woman is for a man in a combat situation. That's psychological fact. So, yeah, ladies, don't get mad at me. I'm there's lots of psychiatrists you can go talk to about this. I'm just saying that you know, the military spent millions of dollars on that. Not just our military, by the way, the Israelis as well. So the thing about it is they, you know, they want women to serve. They really do. And women are much better pilots, by the way, than men. They're way more accurate. They adjust faster. And they can kill from a distance. So it makes it easier for a woman, especially a woman with a conscience. But still, you know, as far as combat goes, we're not real comfortable. We're trying. I mean, they really are trying. The military is really trying to accommodate and let them in combat situations. But no, you know, and there are Marine chicks. I served with some when I was in the service, and they were on board some of the ships I was on board.
Well, I mean, you make a good case for police and fire, too. You know, I mean, how is a 5'2" woman going to pull your 300-pound body out of a building? You know, or how is a police officer get overpowered so easily? And then we've seen this, you know, and time again. They take the gun and then do what they, you know. Are they putting the public at risk by putting women in these positions?
Well, it's not even that they're putting the public at risk. They're putting this woman at risk. So, you know, now don't get me wrong. You know, if you're trained right, even a little small chicken takes down a guy who's untrained. But that's an untrained guy. So, but someone like me who's in training, no, if you try to put the move on me, I'm going to pick your little skinny ass up with one arm and just smash you on the ground. I'm not even going to, don't matter how hard you hit me, you're just not going to affect me that much, and I'm going to put you on the ground. And if you try to hit me with a billy club, I'm going to probably knock your ass out with one punch while you're trying. That's just not a thing. It's, you know, and I don't want to limit females from serving on police forces. I just don't know how you balance it out. I guess stun gun's a good way to balance it somewhat. Maybe they need you know what they really need? They need one of them cattle prods like we used to use in the old days and move the cows along. Now you can use that on anybody. I'll drop a 500-pound cow. You know, I'll drop a 200-pound cow.
This comes to this whole part of this issue, and this is the thing with that's happened over the last little while about making things inclusive so everybody can be involved in that, where this is when it comes down to being situations of life and death, and it says, you know what, having that it's open to everybody, hey, that's fine, but you want the best of the best that can do what they can do, right? Like, you just can't go and say because of affirmative action, we need to have this many people in there. I think this is the part that people have sort of forgotten. They got so wrapped up in gender politics and sexuality and LGBTQ and stuff like that, that we have to have all these people in there. They forgot about it's a job. You want to have somebody that can actually do the job, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. You want somebody that can actually do the job. Now, what's going on down here now, affirmative action is getting challenged in the South because the black populations in the South are high. So like in Louisiana, it's 38% black population. When you add in the other two populations, it puts it over the 50%. So whites fall below the 50% mark, which means they should qualify for affirmative action. So it's going to have to go in the South. And it's all the Southern states are like that, except for Florida and Texas. All the rest of Southern states have very large black populations. It's one of the reasons racism has kind of gone away in the South, because the populations are very merged together now. They have been for the last 30, 40 years. They've been just kind of diverging together because they're two large populations, and they have to live and work together or die, one or the other. And since none of us want to kill each other, everybody started kind of learning how to just get along. There's no white on black crime or black on white crime. You don't find that anywhere in the South. It just doesn't exist now. You do find white on white and black on black crime all day long, but you don't find the other one. It's safe for tourism down here. It's safe to move around.
No burning crosses anymore?
No burning crosses. Well, let me rephrase that. No burning crosses in the Deep South. Now, the Middle South, I don't feel safe in some of the middle, like in lower parts of Tennessee, upper parts of Mississippi.
With that name, Montaldo.
No. Ain't even that.
Or,
yeah, they might. Actually, no.
Montaldo, that don't sound like a white man's name. That's actually, what they say to-
that ain't what they would do. They would look at my wife, who's always dark brown, and look at me like, who is she? Well, she's my wife. She's Italian. Why is she so brown? I can hear now why she's so brown. I've actually been asked before. Why is your wife so brown?
There was this Nazi in school who used to be like, you know, you Italian, wop, blah, 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 like stuff like that. You know, like the guy's always putting people down. You know, I'm ethnic. I don't belong. It's like the Italians built this country, basically. You know, I mean, come on, man. The guy's we gave you pizza, bastards.
I see Hamas rockets are still being launched into Israel. That's going to go on for a little while now.
Wait.
This is what's so great about this. I shouldn't say what's great about this. So, you know, when Obama gave that $4 billion in untraceable cash, the violence went up in the Middle East, especially attacks against America, because they were using that money to fund it. Well, Biden releases $70 billion to him the other day, and guess what happened? Hamas all of a sudden has all this money to start launching rockets into Israel.
Yep.
I'm like, you know, it's just sometimes Democrats just don't think about what they're doing. It's like, oh no, it's the right thing. Well, no, it's not always the right thing, because it looks like
how Israel used social media to sucker all those militants to that tunnel, and they like flamed them all. Crazy, man. So watch out for that Twitter.
Howard Dean, you're not an American, dude. That's all I can say. I don't think Howard Dean's right. He's a slob.
I don't know what happened to Howard Dean, man. He used to be totally different, and now he's like so ultra lib.
Yeah, he's just one of the people you kind of like, whatever, dude. He's probably getting money from the Huffington Post or somebody like that, so he's got to be liberal. And that's one reason.
He changed, man.
Well,
you know what? You know who I like in the Democrats? Harold Ford. Remember Harold Ford from Tennessee? He was really even now he goes on as a commentator, man. You know, I had wished the guy ran for higher office, because that's, you really need that even representation, you know? But we don't have it. We'll never have it, because that's not what the system is built for. The system is built to keep everybody down and throw you a bone, and people fight over the bone, and then they forget all about the person throwing the bone. You know, really, that's all it's ever going to be.
Look at CNN trying to take up AOC because that green chick's tail is attacking her. You shouldn't say anything about the Israelis like that. What is her name? Marjorie Taylor Greene's?
No, it's okay for them to hate the Israelis. You know what's funny? And then the Jews support Democrats. You know,
not as much as they used to, though.
The Democrats are out there, like really, they're not being supportive of the Jewish community, man. You know,
I noticed under Obama that less and less Jewish community was backing Democrats. And I don't know why they wouldn't have backed Trump. I mean, shit, he put the Capitol back where it belongs. I couldn't even understand that. I mean, every Jew in the country should have been ecstatic. That's something they've been preaching, bitching, and griping about for 50 years since they were a country. That the United States wouldn't, you know, put it there. Oh, poor Bill Maher test positive for COVID.
We're not United States. Oh, we're the great prophet, and Israel is the great Satan. Remember? Remember?
Yeah, poor Israel. poor Israel. They're always catching some flack over something, man. No, people who I don't see that. I see that. Oh.
They just need to go in and settle people's hash, but they won't because they need the threat. They need the threat to sell the policy, to make the missiles, to make the money, to move it all around. They need it. Just like we needed the Bay of Pigs, man. They need the fear to sell. Fear sells. It's not about, hey, we're going to represent you, build parks, and keep your roads nice and, you know, make sure your neighborhood's safe and not use all your tax money to do it. No. It's all about we got to protect ourselves. Let's spend trillions of dollars instead of putting it into other things because we need to protect ourselves. How long did we have those missiles fueled every day, ready to fly, thousands of them pointed at other countries? And you know, $1 million a day per missile to keep it fueled, $1 million a day. And that, I remember doing the math back then. Oh, so billions for nothing, That's the machine.
Actually, that's sort of funny there, too, is because I just watched this about a week ago, and they were saying about carbon footprints and what gives off, and they said the U.S. military puts off more carbon emissions than most small countries.
The U.S. spends more in the military than any other country, and all the other countries combined.
Using fuel and expelling carbon emissions into the atmosphere, the military expels more than most small countries.
Because we have bases all around the world, you know? I mean, our footprint is everywhere. We even buy industrial points from other countries, you know, because we use so much of it. But think about it. We're in 1 to 3 minute strike time from any country. And that's what makes the U.S. very, very powerful, more powerful than any other country. And look at like the pipeline with Russia. It's funny how Biden jumped to it right away. Well, we don't have the information that was a state-sponsored attack. You know it was. Come on.
Hey, well, this is what they do. His son worked in Ukraine. He knows all about oil and gas.
He probably gave him the password. Like he probably gave him the – he says some hot Russian chick with some
Parmesan cheese.
John cheese. And he was like, hey, baby. Some stripper. Then she's like, come to my lair, baby. And he's like, you know, my father's president now. Woohoo! Let's go to the candy bedroom. Taking a Russian spy into the candy bedroom. Oh my God. But I could see it happening. I mean, that's the scary part. And I could see them defending it, you know? I mean, where's the justice anymore?
That's true. That went away a long time ago.
I never believed it to begin with.
When the news became a media entertainment industry, that all just went away a long time ago.
Humans love to be addicted. Humans love to be distracted, man. Like cell phones. Cell phones are the biggest addiction on the planet ever. You know, you can't put them down. People can't leave their homes anymore without them in their pockets. You know, think about that. Worse than cigarettes. Worse than cigarettes, man. So, I mean, but that's people. You ever know someone who gambles a lot? Or people who gamble in general, you know, they've got that. That it's just addiction. You could be addicted to food, to whatever, right? Anything.
Yeah.
But then there's going to be a company out there that's going to cash in on it.
That's true. Yeah. Very true.
So we should talk about Elon Musk, man. We should talk about Elon Musk before we end the show. No, what happened to Joe?
Actually, no, I'm right here. Actually, we're getting ready to end.
Let's talk about Elon, man.
We can't. We only got a minute left. Oh, Elon. No, actually, minute. No. You know what? We might do. We might do a Science and Beyond just on Elon Musk and then send it to
him. No, I want to go beyond Science and Beyond. I want to ask the both of you, and Lily. You're going to see her microphone is muted. What do you think about the Saturday Night Live scandal with Elon Musk?
I don't know. It seemed that went off great. Everybody said that Elon was great.
The hoopla before that, they didn't.
I know all the hoopla before, but it
didn't want to be with him. Didn't want to be near him. Like they have such animosity for no reason. It's like fake outrage. They don't have a reason to hate
because somebody on the set or somebody over there said a bunch of bullshit about him, and nobody took the time to research. It's like when Biden was saying all that stuff about the Georgia laws, and then found out, well, no, that it was none of it was true. You know, it's Democrats now. They talk without checking anything.
Fake outrage.
Then they got to come back and recant. Yeah, Elon's great. I can't wait to leave an Elon bill.
I love the science. I love what he's doing. I love the fact that
I already put my money down on my condo on Mars with him.
Nice.
In 2030, I'll be retiring on Mars.
I'll be up there in a hotel somewhere.
I get my first Martian chick with three boobs. I'll be real happy. No, I'm just teasing people. But you know, like Starlight, that's great. If you live in an area where you can't get internet, Elon Musk is going to be offering Starlight. I know a couple of my friends have already signed up for it. And Jason and them expect to be getting it sometime in August. And friends up early in Northern Mississippi expect to be getting it in about a month. It's great. It runs at about 400 megs. I imagine the ping speeds are a little slower because it is satellite, but still, I hear it is fabulous the way it runs.
It's going to happen on the cloud.
I think they're running beta test right now. You can apply to be a beta tester on it.
It's deployed in some cities already.
Is it? Yeah, because we were looking about it up here in Canada, but the equipment there, if you apply for that, like it is sort of a little bit expensive, and it is.
Yeah, it's like $500.
It's a bit expensive, but if you don't have internet where you are, it's a possibility.
Jason said it's $400 and then $99 a month is what it costs him to sign up.
Bow, bow.
And so it's $400 for the equipment and then $99 a month. But he's saying they're guaranteeing him speeds of at least 500 megs. So that's pretty good. I mean, internet down here, if you went to a local internet company here to get 500 megs, it's going to cost you probably $100, $120 a month.
Yeah, that's a lot, though. I mean, how much do you really need to pay that kind of price? I mean, they should charge like – I get what he's trying to do.
Well, I run more than that because I need the upload speed. I don't need the download speed.
Yeah, but you have a radio station. I'm just talking about your regular Joe out there who's just going to be watching porn.
You know what's funny about that? In the old days, you would lose probably about 200 megs a month to 300 megs a month. But now that all your TVs run off the internet, that's jumped up to about a billion megs a month. So yeah, it does consume a lot more bandwidth.
That's why we run unlimited, right? We don't cap off here at our place anyways. Yeah. Because like
you don't want to get limited if you can't see. Some cities try to do that, so they do tiers, like 500 meg, 750, how much ever, and so they can get more money out of you. But our Congress is supposed to be changing that, making that illegal. Either give them the bandwidth it works or don't. And you pay for it. If you want a smooth connection here, you know, especially if you live in a rural area, you're going to want to run 500 meg.
There's a secret to that. They really can't control the speed. They can give you a box that controls the speed. Yeah, so, but if you go out and get your own, router, especially one that can move a lot of space, you know, then you can kind of run how you want to run. I mean,
actually, it's funny
you can only run as fast as what your ISP is running at. You can't go any faster than that.
But having said that, I mean, I work through the internet, and you know, I've had connections that was so bad, 6 megabytes up and down, six down and one up. I mean, that's pretty bad, pretty slow. Yeah. But I was able to do video conferencing. I was able to use, you know, have all my browsers open. So I mean, really, when it comes down to how much speed do you need, it's about how much data you really need to transfer.
But we got to get out of here. I got to say bye, guys. If you're
running video, though, right? You're just usually running audio, right?
Audio and text. Audio and data is easy.
That was a little big there, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Give him shit, Dad. That's right. He needs to get his ugly ass on the camera. Dad was giving you shit because you ain't on camera. But yeah, data and audio. I'm sending you one, man. I got two of them bitches laying around. Yeah. Send me your address. I'll send you one.
It worked. You know what? I had it working for a short time. I don't know what the hell's wrong with it. It fuzzes out. It does some weird things. So.
You need to get your ass in camera with the rest of those ugly people. But anyway, we got to go. Everybody say good night because we got to turn it over to Kathy Belsky.
Good night.
I'll see you all next week, people. We got a special show coming up.
Lily.
On the 27th on UFO on the cover.
Yeah. Beautiful Lily.
Yes, please.
We got to see her for 1 second.
Yes. Yeah, she is saying.
I've been bugging.
Come on.
We got to get out of here because I got to get the other crazy on. Y'all, good night, guys. Lily, nice to see you. Mike, see y'all soon.
Bye.
Don't forget meeting tomorrow at 1 o'clock, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, yeah, 1 o'clock. Oh, yeah. Bye-bye.
Want to hear something amazing? Oh, and feel free to tell your friends, too. So, Kohl's, they're having a huge sale on summer stuff. And if you live for sunny days like I do, you need to check it out. I got 40% off a new patio set, Food Network grilling essentials for 20% off, and 50% off those yard games my kids won't stop talking about. Best part? I got an extra 15% off and some Kohl's cash. It almost makes being cooped up all winter worth it. Almost. Select styles, 15% offer ends May 16th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Minute Maid slushies are back at McDonald's. And if you want to thank me for that info with the slushie, that's cool. It's more than a drink. It's a McDonald's drink.
Treat yourself to a refreshing Minute Maid slushie, a pink lemonade, or strawberry watermelon. Goes great with a fresh beef quarter pounder with cheese or the new crispy chicken sandwich. At participating McDonald's for a limited time. Fresh beef available at most restaurants in contiguous U.S. Not available in Alaska, Hawaii, and U.S. territories.